Welcome to Accessibility Craft, where we explore the complex challenges and emerging trends that are shaping digital accessibility while sipping on unique craft beverages. This show is proudly produced by Equalize Digital, the most trusted name in WordPress accessibility. Join us every week as we break down accessibility news and share the expert strategies we've used to help make millions of websites more accessible. Grab a drink. The show starts now.
Hey, everybody. It's Amber, and I'm here today with Chris.
Hey, everybody.
And Steve.
Hello, everyone.
And we are here on Accessibility Craft episode number 154. And of course, we are going to start with the beverage here in just a minute. But for anyone who wants show notes and a full transcript, head on over to accessibilitycraft.com/154 to get those. What are we drinking today, Chris?
We are drinking Kyla Lavender Lemonade Hard Kombucha. So they say this is a mouth-wateringly bright mix of lemon with a flourish of lavender in alcoholic kombucha form. And it is 6.5% alcohol by volume. And if I sound shocked, it's because I hadn't read the can yet and I'm a little bit like, whoa. I guess kombucha can pack a punch if you let it. But Amber, you saw this at the store and you were like, this is different.
Preempted me. I was going to ask Steve, this drink.
Yeah. Well, but based on the visual look of the can, which is a very feminine looking lavender color with some fruits and plants and stuff, I assumed this was an Amber pick.
Yeah, I saw it at the store and I almost bought it just to try at home. And then I was like, wait, no, this would be a good podcast beverage. So I came home and I told Chris, I was like, they have hard kombucha at the store. You should put that on an episode. I like the can. It's lavender, but it's got this kind of like geometric line. Like, it's super, I don't know. I feel like you would see this decoration on people's walls on an HGTV home renovation. Like, it's got the, it's like triangles and I don't know, like leaf shapes and lemons and that kind of stuff. But like this abstract kind of lavender and then the sunrise. It's pretty feminine, I guess, but I like it.
It's girly and hippy dippy, health forward with them having, you know, gluten-free vegan live culture emblazoned all over their can. I did think it was interesting. And the thing that made me do a double take is apparently this has won some awards. So on their website, they say that this won the gold medal in 2020 at the Canned Challenge Adult Beverage Competition, which I've never heard of, but maybe that's big. And then they took the silver at the 2020 U.S. Open Cider and Beverage Championships. So maybe this will be good. Won some awards.
Do you normally drink kombucha, Steve?
No.
Chris doesn't either.
What about lavender? What about lavender flavored stuff, Steve?
Yeah, lavender is a weird flavor to like drink, right?
Oh man, you're a tea drinker like me. Do you ever put lavender in your tea?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a London Fog, but basically it's kind of like a chai. If you think about the concept of a chai where you've got a lot of milk and like sugar and it's sweet. But a London Fog is like Earl Grey tea with dried lavender mixed in it. And then it's got like the steamed milk and stuff. And I really like those.
Well, I'm a chai guy, but I don't put any milk and stuff in it or sugar in it. It's just
yep.
Straight up. As you guys pop the top on these, I want to read. I always think it's interesting what they write on these cans, but it says, I'm going to try not to laugh when I read it too. But when the Pacific Northwest sun breaks through the gray, euphoria radiates. We've captured that essence in our Sunbreak series, bright and alive, the mystical magic of happiness.
It sounds like they smashed a couple of haikus together or something.
How many of these did they drink before they wrote that?
So, wait, Chris, I guess I don't drink enough alcohol to actually know the answer, but 6 is high. That's higher than a beer. How does it compare to like wine?
Lower than wine. We've had plenty of beers that are between like 5% and 9% on here. It's just, my expectation was that this would end up being lower alcohol. Like I just kind of expected to read 2 or 3% and it came in at double that.
Yeah, so I think what is interesting about this, if you read the ingredients, and we're smelling it, but it's got water, kombucha culture, black tea, fake sweeteners, so like erythritol, lemon juice, citric acid, organic Reb A, which is a stevia leaf extract, vegetable juice, hibiscus flowers, organic lavender flowers, natural flavors, lavender essential oil. When I thought of hard kombucha, I thought they were like a hard seltzer. Like they were taking kombucha and adding vodka to it or something. So this
I think
is
the alcohol's
like
coming from
it
the fermentation.
Became alcohol just from the kombucha process, which I did not expect.
I've read before that all kombuchas are slightly alcoholic, even the ones that don't advertise themselves as being alcohol.
I smell orange juice.
That's funny you said orange juice, because I was going to say, it smells and tastes like orange juice that's gone bad.
So it tastes, okay, I got to taste some now.
Well, like fermented orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Or like orange juice you watered down.
Like a mimosa.
Yeah.
Does it taste like a mimosa to you, Steve?
I guess not really, but I mean, I get why. I don't know, maybe a little bit.
I don't think it smells bad. Like it does.
I feel like it's kind of flat on the citrus and it's kind of just like sour and bubbly and not floral. I was expecting more on the lavender front than what I got.
I can't get any lavender.
Are you getting lavender at all?
No, and that's pretty much it. I'm not really. I thought I would smell it because it's such a strong smell when it's there.
I mean, it has this interesting dryness thing to it. You know, I kind of like dry wines and dry Diet Coke. It's got
a
dry thing.
I think a lot of kombucha kind of has that. I mean, it is very fizzy. More than I expect a kombucha to be. It almost foaming in my mouth. So it makes it hard for me to taste it because I'm like trying to hold it and taste it. But it's like fizzing. I get more lemon on the flavor than I do on the nose. I don't get lavender at all. And I keep trying to look for it because I do drink lavender. It does kind of have a like vodka-y aftertaste to me. I don't know. Like the kind of flavor it leaves is a little bit on that edge. If I think about all the liquors.
I don't hate it, but it's not what I expected. And I'm kind of bummed that I'm not tasting or smelling lavender because it's the first word in the flavor. So, you know,
yeah. You know, I will give them though, if this is the Sunbreak series, like I did really think when I smelled it and tasted it, that it was reminiscent of a mimosa. I would have this at brunch.
Are you a brunch person?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh.
Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. Breakfast food is my favorite, and I would eat it at any time of day, and I would eat brunch every day if I could. Of course, life is the reality, and so I don't, you know, do like fancy brunches with alcoholic beverages. I mean, I don't even know. Do we do that like once every couple of months?
No,
but
not even.
But if I was, I would maybe pick this. Like, I would actually be like, I'm going to go get a hard kombucha. I'm sad it doesn't have lavender. But I like it otherwise.
So, Amber, you give that a thumbs up then?
One.
I'm kind of one thumb in the middle on this one. I'm not sure if I would go out of my way to get it ever again. And if there were other options arrayed on a table with this one being one of them, I think I'd probably choose one of the other options. But if it was the only choice, I wouldn't, you know, just drink water. So it's not horrible. It's kind of where I'm at with it. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I'd give it a thumbs up on its design. The design of the can is pretty slick, but on the taste, I can't really taste lavender at all. So I'd probably give it like a thumbs in the middle that's slightly pointing down. Not a full thumbs down, but, you know, almost pointing down.
It's teetering. It's so, teetering.
Teetering.
All right. That was Kyla Hard Kombucha. And we're going to let our kombucha settle. And Amber, I think while we do that, you have an update to share with something that WP Accessibility Day is doing right now.
Yes. So WP Accessibility Day is running a crowdfunding campaign. I'll say this is actually a really interesting experiment. I was talking to Taco Verdenchant, who was one of our organizers. A lot of people might know him. He used to be at Yoast and is now at Progress Planner, about some feedback that we've gotten in Europe about people not understanding the European Accessibility Act and how it applies to them, and really just that there needs to be more education there. And of course, WordPress Accessibility Day is a 24-hour event that runs talks during European times, but our registration has stayed kind of low from Europe. It's grown in a lot of other areas. And so we thought maybe it would be cool to try and have a really big sponsor booth to promote the event, but also just to do a help desk during WordCamp Europe in a very visible way that puts accessibility front and center for people. We're looking at having an editor-sized booth, so that's one of the really big ones you could walk into, right? So people say, whoa, what is this accessibility thing? It's important. Of course, as a nonprofit, WordPress Accessibility Day doesn't just have $30,000 sitting around to get an editor-level booth at WordCamp. So we are raising money for it, and we started a crowdfunding campaign that people can donate to as of the recording date, and I'm super hoping that it will be higher by the time this comes out. We've raised $2,709, and I think it's an interesting experiment because it will be like, do people in the community want there to be this big accessibility help desk at WordCamp Europe? Are they willing to pay to make that happen? So that's what we're doing. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about it or questions I can answer.
I think having anything that gets accessibility front and center is good. Obviously, I'm a little biased. But the other thing about it that I think is interesting is I feel like that's more useful than yet another accessibility talk, right? Or people finding an accessibility company leader in the hallway and having an incidental conversation. Like having a booth there that has tables and laptops set up where people can go and get actual help and get actual questions answered by experts is way different than what they would normally get on the accessibility front at a WordCamp Europe or a different event of that type. I think it's a good idea. We'll see if people vote with their dollars to make it happen.
I would just tag on that, you know, Equalize Digital is doing our part to support that effort as well. And we're, you know, putting our money where our mouth is, and we would implore anybody listening to do the same.
Yes. So we are obviously supporting it. I'm hoping to be there. We'll see how it goes. I hope everyone will go take a look at that fundraiser, which you can see if you go to wpaccessibility.day, and we'll throw a link for that in the show notes. Now, of course, I was thinking about our big topic for today. And sometimes we talk about what's going on in the news. Sometimes we have been using these for little like built in public discussions. And I was thinking that maybe we should talk about color contrast, because this is something that has been coming up in our work in our Accessibility Checker plugin. So I'd like to talk about that. But first, we're going to take a short commercial break.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code ACCESSIBILITYCRAFT to save 10% on any plan.
We're back. Steve, you and William have been significantly refactoring Accessibility Checker's UI to bring it more in line with modern WordPress. People can tune into our latest changelog live stream to get a full picture of these changes. But Steve, before we talk about the specific color contrast issue, can you give maybe a high level of what you've been changing so we know, like, maybe set the stage for this color contrast discussion?
Yeah, totally. So we're kind of taking our first pass at some UI and UX refactoring side the plugin. The plugin has reached a threshold of being 5 years old, and we thought it was time to kind of take a look at some of that and try to bring it up to speed with modern WordPress. And we think that modern WordPress is at a place where we can achieve some of these things in an accessible way without, you know, causing too many regressions in accessibility. So at a high level, we're moving the legacy meta box into the block editor sidebar. Now, a little caveat there is the meta box is not going away because it needs to be there for backwards compatibility and for compatibility with websites and or posts or pages that don't support the block editor. We updated terminology, information hierarchy, how color and shape and severity are communicated. And we remediated kind of how things are grouped and sorted and organized to better surface issues to you and the best way that you should action on those. So overall, it was a practice to bring the meta box into the sidebar. So you now have your accessibility checker on the sidebar and you have your content on the other side. You can be looking at both of them at the same time. You don't have to scroll down to the meta box and then scroll back up. And just doing a complete reevaluation of all the colors and terms and grouping and sorting that we were currently doing and how we can improve that.
And for people listening, by the time this episode airs, you should be able to go run updates in Accessibility Checker. And I believe you will see the first round of these UI improvements in your WordPress dashboard, which is super exciting. We might show a little bit of that today as we have our build in public discussion. But while doing this work, one thing we have started doing is testing this with WordPress 7.0 beta, which I think beta 2 just came out recently at the time of this conversation. And some interesting things have come up with colors because this release is including a new default color scheme inside the admin, as well as just, I think, some admin UI tweaks in general. And Steve, you tweeted about the color changes that you observed when testing this. What did you see?
Yeah, so this refactor has been going on for, you know, most of 2026, so the last couple months. And we actually were not testing with the beta because the beta actually just came out last week, last Friday or something. So it just came out, beta 1, and beta 2 has actually dropped since then, I think last night. And we then decided to install and see what's going on. Is anything new that we're making breaking, or is it breaking any past stuff? And yeah, a big change with 7.0 is the default color scheme is now changed. I think this is a color scheme you could switch to before, but now it's default. So fresh used to be the default. And fresh is not the default anymore. The default just, it uses a brighter blue, a much brighter blue, I think. It may have better contrast in some instances, but the real problem that arises from this is that our brand blue and even the WordPress logo brand blue was very in line with that fresh color palette. And so like in the plugin, if we restyled links to be our blue, then it kind of matched with the default theme and it kind of matched with WordPress and it matched with our brand. But now this new default theme has these very bright, vivid blues in there. And you're now seeing links that don't match because some are inheriting the core blue and some have our own blue defined. So it brought up the conversation around what path should we take? Should we inherit from core or should we override and use our own?
And that's really what I want to talk about. I'm wondering if you could pull up your screen and show us an example of where we can see the new blue and our defined blue next to each other.
So I have my screen share up. So you can see the default is now this new color palette. So it's, you know, kind of a similar dark black or off black, maybe slightly gray, and this bright blue and this kind of lighter blue, whereas this fresh color palette was the one previously.
That was more tealish, almost, the fresh blue.
Yeah, it was a more subtle blue, not as bright. And so you can see it right away in the sidebar. You can see that blue at practice here. The red count circles are now blue. So that's been removed. I kind of like the red because it's like,
oh, saying, hey, you need updates. Pay attention to me.
So it's like, just as we did with our sidebar and like trying to evaluate, are we using color to convey meaning the best way possible? That practice needs to happen as well when UX is being evaluated in core. You know, if these previously showed red, which means like this is important, look at it, and now they mean blue, is the meaning of that count changed now?
That was part of the whole conversation that we had, which you don't need to rehash, but people should definitely go watch that changelog that you did with William, because you talked about meaning of color and how we change them so much in our own plugin. And I don't know if I haven't been paying enough attention to know if these conversations are happening in the WordPress level.
I mean, and it's very important. And, you know, us being an accessibility plugin too, we went a step further and we're kind of evaluating shape. So we don't want to convey meaning with color only. We actually have introduced a unique shape to each one of those colors so that if somebody can't tell the difference between those colors, that they have another way to tell the difference between those icons and those statuses in its shape. But to your question about the color, so I've pulled open a post with the Accessibility Checker plugin. And for those that haven't seen, we have this new sidebar, and I'll zoom in a bit so it's a lot easier to see. We have a new sidebar here in the block editor.
It's just we got to pause there and do a little clap for the responsiveness and how all that just worked beautifully.
Yeah, so that wasn't really user testing, but I didn't zoom in my screen. I increased the zoom on the browser by just zooming in, and everything scaled up fine. So that was a
very
little
nice.
Bit of, does it look good at 200%? And fortunately, it does. So we have this new sidebar here, and you can see that we're utilizing a lot of core components that are built in, and it's inheriting the new color in some instances, but in some instances, it is not, like in these core tabs. And we may have modified these a little bit, but the focus on these tabs actually is a different blue. It may be our blue. And so this is something that we have to evaluate, whether or not we want to remove those, or did William make these that color because it actually doesn't inherit a proper focus outline in general? And if it doesn't, you know, that's something we can open with the Gutenberg team. So the sidebar, you'll notice like here, these links are blue. They're not inheriting the core blue. And this wasn't really noticeable with the other theme because the blues were so similar. So if I look at like the classic meta box here as well, and I can zoom out a little bit because that meta box is a lot bigger. We are trying to keep parity between the sidebar and the meta box so that they kind of convey the same meaning and have the same functionality in case you don't have the block editor enabled. But if I pull open our accessibility analysis panel and then open it, you can see this again where we're inheriting this default style and then we're using our own here. So this raises the question, now since core is changing, what do we do? Do we inherit? Do we not inherit? If we inherit, then we inherit the accessibility issues as well. And if somebody chooses a color that's not accessible, there's not much we can do to control that. So that's kind of the main topic of discussion here on where we go with this.
Visual aids are so helpful.
Yeah. It is really interesting because on the one hand, part of me is as a plugin developer, we should try to make our UI as consistent with core WordPress in hopes that all other plugin developers would, so that it feels like a unified piece of software when you're in the editor. That's one take that I have on it. But then I have this other accessibility hat. I think you talked about that last time, putting on your accessibility hat. And this came up when I was testing our beta, that there were some links in the modal, and maybe you could open an issue modal that we've added. And I was not testing with 7.0. I was testing with current live WordPress And on the sidebar here, this probably passes contrast with 7.0. But in the current version of WordPress, it takes the default color. And even though it's on this very light gray background, the default WordPress in the current one is 4.5:1 on a white background. So the second you put, I don't even know what this is. It's so barely gray. The second you put anything that is literally not straight FFFF for white, it fails contrast with the default color. So that's my frustration, is that there's not enough space for us to even add this ink. Half people wouldn't even realize there's gray background on that. It's so subtle. So I'm balancing these two things between we should just match core and no, we should make it better. I'm curious, Chris, because I think you have seen this the least out of like me and Steve and maybe thought about it. Like, what's your gut reaction? Should plugin developers just match core, or should we try and make it better and have our own colors on everything?
Well, like the thing that Steve pointed out is probably a chief concern, right? Is when you inherit or rely or lean on core, that's something that is outside or external to your direct control. But it's not just, I mean, we do that anyway because we're building an extension of a CMS. But if we're relying on that for our styles and how the thing looks too, and not just trying to extend its functionality, I do feel like that adds more risk. Because one of the things that I'm thinking about now, like looking at the settings panel that Steve was sharing earlier, where it showed all the different, you know, stylistic formats you could apply to the back end of WordPress, there's 9 or 8 different color schemes there. And if we're suddenly inheriting, you know, just the color scheme, I don't know if we would just inherit whatever the site setting is, or if we would say, no, we're only going to inherit, you know, default WordPress. But that's a consideration, right? Because what does that do if someone applies, you know, a custom admin style or one of these other styles and it causes some sort of visual issue? And is the person using our tool going to be savvy enough to know, oh, that's not them, that's because I have this setting over here? They may not be. They may be like, wow, that Equalize Digital team doesn't even get basic color contrast in the back end of their tool. I can't trust them, right? When it's actually not even our fault. We're just inheriting a bad style setting. So there's risk there. And I don't know how we circumvent that or what that means.
I want to do two things because I think it would be really interesting. One is I think we should have Steve switch to one of these horrible color palettes. And I will say, pick Sunrise, for example, which for folks who are not looking, it has red.
A lot of red and pink.
Oh, man. You don't have to save the change. It just does it. I guess that's your preview.
So yeah, I think you have to save it, yeah.
And now you refresh. Oh, man. Okay, so this fails contrast because there's literally yellow things with white text on them.
Yeah, interestingly, this link didn't change. It doesn't have a blue in the palette.
Can you inspect that and see where the color is coming from?
It's still coming from core. So they actually did not update the link colors. They kept them kind of this default blue. The link color is not in the Sunrise color palette.
So that is interesting. Helpful to know, which is that if we adopt, then it won't totally fail.
Yeah, these hover states completely fail now because that's inherent.
And the clear issues button too.
Yeah, and you can see we actually are inheriting some orange underline here as well. There's a blue and an orange on the tabs. See, this stays blue because this is actually our blue. But we have an orange button here now, which, you know, for our listeners, orange, you're really going to have a hard time getting orange to work unless you really make it look brown. Yeah, all of our UI inherits that. I mean, and, you know, color contrast aside, like a thing that kind of was a concern for me a little bit was like, I have these tabs and I have this button. Now this button's orange and it doesn't match these tabs. Should my tabs inherit that blue color too, right? So you start to go, whose brand and whose color palette should be priority? Does that cause our brand harm, like Chris was saying, to have this orange color and not match up? It looks not cohesive now.
So it is worth noting for anyone who's like, well, why are these failures even exist in WordPress core? The only color palette that is required to pass color contrast for WordPress accessibility is a default one. So there's a bunch here like ocean. I could just tell looking at that. That's got like light blues and greens and a brown tannish color. I mean, the whole admin bar fails color contrast in that one. It's even worse than the sunrise one. I don't think we can account for any of those sub palettes. But I am curious, should we adopt default? And one of the thoughts that I had is, could we test and compare the default blue and see if it has higher contrast to our blue? And if it does, that might be an argument for just allowing default to pass through. Like, you could inspect and compare contrast on, like, the clear issues versus, you know, the accessibility status tab and just see the difference in the colors.
So the new bright blue in WordPress 7.0 has a 5.61 contrast ratio.
So this seems like a good accessibility improvement to WordPress overall.
Yes, it is. It has greater color contrast than the previous. Let's look at our blue. So it's 5.03. So the new one is slightly
worse.
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm thinking like we're literally trying to make a decision right now, I would err towards maybe we make all our colors adopt the default. Then they'll match throughout the UI. And it's better contrast than we previously had.
Yep. And is there a way to match the default without also then exposing ourselves to matching to whatever color scheme they pick if someone picks one of the different ones?
No, yeah, I don't think so.
That's hard.
But so the thing about that is I have a hard time imagining someone has chosen like the ocean color palette, which makes their entire admin sidebar completely unreadable to them. And then they go to our thing and they're like, why does yours have bad color contrast? Do you know what I mean? I feel like if they have actively chosen low contrast.
Yeah.
So what? I think as long as the core WordPress doesn't fail contrast, then we'll be okay. And it seems
the
like
default.
And that'll, I guess the default will be what most people are on anyway. I don't know who changes their preferred color palette in the back end of an admin UI. Maybe some people do. Maybe they're into that.
I mean, I changed my Basecamp default color scheme to purple.
I'm dark mode all the way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't make my background purple. It just changes. You have an option to change your button colors. And purple is prettier than blue, right?
Right.
Matches are a pretty drink. Some people like to do that. But I mean, for me, like the answer then, if somebody messages us and submits a support thing that's like, hey, your contrast in this is low.
Yeah. The second they share a screenshot,
the low
we're going to know.
Contrast color scheme from WordPress core, go switch back to the default and you'll be fine.
Right. And I think this was like an overarching practice in this refactor for us. We are moving from a design that was very unique to Accessibility Checker for the last 5 years. And in a way, it made Accessibility Checker very identifiable. When you saw that meta box with the big colors, you're like, oh, that's Accessibility Checker, right? And through this practice, we're trying to adopt better color and meaning and trying to kind of dovetail into WordPress a little bit better. And I think adopting that default color probably is the answer here. And it does kind of make Accessibility Checker, like I said, integrate into WordPress in a more seamless manner.
So can I throw one wrench in here?
Yes.
We are an accessibility plugin. Should we meet AAA, which is above and beyond the current standards of WordPress core? And would that be the argument for not matching, but also not using our current blue? And going for better contrast.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it is that it seems like with color contrast, sometimes we want to take that extra step into AAA because it's kind of an easy win of sorts to meet AAA. Now, I will say when you're redesigning a UI like we've done here, having to aim for AAA is a little hard because sometimes you want to visually show hierarchy with shades of black or gray. And with AAA, you know, the range in which that you can go from black to gray is very short. So if you want to have a black title and like a subtitle that is, you know, kind of grayed out so you can say this is important, but it's not super, super important. It's not as important as this other thing. that gets a little bit harder. And there may be a bigger question too is, you know, if you're aiming for AAA in one respect, why aren't you aiming for it in all respects, right? Is it better to meet just AAA color contrast? Yeah, sure. But did you aim for all the other AAA things as well? And Core, like you said, Core has a AA requirement that they're trying to meet. And we are integrating into Core now a lot with this new sidebar. And we're utilizing a lot of Core components that are built at AAA level.
Do you think, Chris?
Well, I mean, I can only take judgment calls so far when it comes to software development because I'm not a CTO. But I think one consideration would just be that of dependencies, right? I don't know if that's the right word for it, or maybe deviations. That's the D word I'm looking for. If we're going to have a lot of dependencies on decisions based on core components and core color schemes and trying to just inherit their interface with our own layout for what we need, anywhere that we diverge from that, it's a discrepancy, right? That we have to maintain and consider. Because what if, just for example, right? Let's say we decide to make all of our stuff darker, right? And so it no longer inherits the core blue. What if core at some point in the future decides to do like an inverted color palette, but we're only factoring in our color decisions, you know, having like darker text, we would suddenly have a slightly less dark color on a really dark color and all the contrast would be broken. And we would, because of that, like slight divergence where we weren't inheriting. I don't know that Core would suddenly do that, right? But I could see them eventually adding like a dark mode into the back end of WordPress at some point. And I would say that if we're going to hitch our wagon to core components and core style decisions, I think we're hitching our wagon to it to an extent. That's my thought.
Yeah. I mean, I'd tag onto that too a little bit. You're taking on what we might call technical debt of maintaining that moving forward. But, you know, there
That's
is too.
The word. Thank you.
There is an interesting piece here too, because this is WordPress 7.0 moving forward is going to have this color, but you know, 6.9 and previous versions don't. We try to maintain compatibility three versions back. I will say that you can go many versions back and the plugin still works, like several versions back, but requirement from a coding perspective is three versions back. And so if we make this switch now, we inherit everything now. That means that if you have 7.0, the contrast is better. But like Amber said a little while ago, that the previous blue didn't have as great of color contrast, and you pretty much had to have it on white to ensure that you met requirements for color contrast. So we fixed this for 7.0 that's coming out soon, very soon, and you have some users on 7 and you have some on 6.9 and back. So your compliance is different for every user kind of at that point.
Yeah, this is an interesting thought because I'm planning to update our accessibility conformance report this year. Because it's been a while since we've done that. And that's part of why we're doing this extra thorough testing right now in preparation for that. But we would literally have to say, I think in that our conformance is based on the assumption that people are using 7.0 or newer. Or maybe even when we write that ACR, we'll just have to say 7.0 because that's the version of WordPress we tested with when we did the ACR. It is such an interesting place to be in to have to develop and make these choices as a plugin author when you're integrating into someone else's software that you can't really control. And I know we need to wrap things up, but it's like we could say we're going to use default core colors, and then an option is instead of adding the AAA colors in our own plugin, we could go maybe submit a different like AAA color scheme to WordPress. So that might be an option. And then people could choose to toggle that on. And then if they wanted that, it would also make all of our colors. Like maybe the name would literally be WCAG AAA. And it would just be a modification of the default. I don't know.
Or something super clear, like to everyday people, like high contrast or something, right?
Yeah, high contrast maybe would be a better option.
We're short on time, so I don't want to get too technical about it. But these themes actually, they're style overrides. So you have a default, and then when you adopt this, they kind of override a lot of things. And it overrides a lot of things in core. But then when you introduce something like that, you got to think that if we're dealing with color issues in our plugin, like how do we handle this? Every plugin is dealing with this problem. So it's going to become like a global thing. If people adopt this default, which they will, it becomes a little more standard around all the plugins. So yeah, it's not just core. It's all the things. It's all the plugins as well, right?
Did we make a decision? Did we decide we're going to adopt core colors in our plugin?
I think we did. I think we're going
to
try
to. It sounded like.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to inherit and we're going to try to play nice with WordPress.
Yeah. I think from a UI like consistency standpoint, I think as a plugin developer, that's probably our best bet. But now I've got my brain going about, can I submit a skin?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Well, if that happens, we will have to record a follow-up episode where we talk all about it.
Run those accessibility checker updates and get on WordPress 7.0 when it's out, and you will have a clean, slick, cool, new, modern UI. Won't that be fun?
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you found this episode valuable, please help us reach more people by subscribing, reviewing or liking the show, and sharing this with your colleagues. Accessibility Craft is a production of Equalize Digital, Inc. Steve Jones composed our theme music. To learn how Equalize Digital can support you on your accessibility journey, visit us at equalizedigital.com.